and welcome to Defiant Optimism, the inspiring podcast from Smiley Movement, where we talk to extreme fundraisers and the people who go above and beyond to raise money and awareness for an important cause. I'm Amy, the host of the podcast. I'm the chief editor here at Smiley Movement, and I'm always amazed by the insane challenges some people do to give back. So today I have Andy Stone with me. Now, Andy recently completed 35 days of 35-mile triathlons to raise money for the Blue Marine Foundation and the Sharks Trust. He's previously done 17 days of 17-mile triathlons for the Stroke Association, and he's building up to do 70 days of 70.3-mile triathlons in April to achieve 2 world records. So that's going to be most triathlons in a row and the most triathlons completed in a year of that length. So welcome, Andy. I mean, you've not long finished your 35 and 35 challenge, have you? How was that?
Yeah, it was about 4 weeks ago, and surprisingly good, actually. I kind of had a plan and stuck to it, and it went okay. So that's one of the things I'm taking forward, is just to do what I know to do, you know?
And I mean, I've just read out a lot of numbers there. You did 17 days of triathlons, 35 days of triathlons. You're building up to do 70 days of triathlons. Can you tell us a bit about all of these challenges and why you initially decided to get going with them?
Yeah, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. There's a chap in America, James Lawrence, called the Iron Cowboy. And he did 50 in 50 states in 50 days. And I just loved it. I loved the concept of it. I loved the testing of yourself, that aspect of it. And I thought up 70-70-70, because it's a 70 miler, 70 days. I thought that was achievable and not too over the top. And I was just going to go for that, but I wasn't in the position to do that. Ironically, COVID has messed a lot of things up for a lot of people, but for me, it's given me the opportunity to have a crack at it. So first lockdown, I was overseas working, was repatriated. Second lockdown, I found extremely difficult, having been sort of living the life that I wanted to live in recovery and able to achieve that. And then it was kind of whisked away. And then accepting that that was the case and finding it difficult to get through second lockdown, it was then the perfect opportunity to hatch this plan of, okay, well, let's look at a new project, completely new trajectory for me, and was able to then start giving it a lot of thought. The thought of going in for just straight in for the 70s was my first sort of thing I thought about. And then having given it a bit more thought, we broke it down a bit. And so we broke it down to 35s, which is halves, and then to 17. So each time the days in succession doubles, but the actual mileage quadruples. So it's been a nice, quite a nice scale, if you like. So the 17s was hard because I was not conditioned to it at all. So that was entry point, coldest spring ever, finishing rides in like 7 degrees, and it was just difficult conditions. And that for me was actually really hard. Then having given more time to training between the 17s and the 35s and giving it more focus, things were getting, like, my social media was picking up, things were kind of starting to stick a little bit. And so the 35s was long enough to be hard, but because it was the middle one, there's no kind of real reward for it. So the first one, it was like all, you know, brand new, groundbreaking for me personally. And, I took a lot from it. The 70s is obviously going to be the main one, the big challenge, which is double world record. People are going to be watching and it's going to be exciting and it's going to be great. But the 35s was kind of, and nothing in the middle, if you like. There was no real reward for that. And so that was quite difficult.
I feel like it's a pretty big nothing.
Yeah. And then on it's funny, really, because day 35, I finished the final run with a mate of mine. She's one of my PTs, and she came and did the run. And it was weird. I didn't get really a feeling of achievement. Like, I literally just stopped running, pressed my watch. Right, well, there we go then. And it was kind of, I didn't give myself any credit at that point. And so day 36 was another nice day. And I decided to test drive a 70. So because I was at that level of fatigue, which is hard to achieve, we thought, right, let's see what my body can do under these conditions at this point. And if I complete this, there was no pressure on it. I'd done the challenge. I'd done what I said I was going to raise money to do. And it was just kind of literally just a test. So if I finish it, great. If I don't, we'll take from that what we can from either one of those outcomes. And so I did the swim and the ride at the pace that I've been doing at. And it felt, you know, the ride felt like I'd done double. It was a more taxing ride, but the plan was for the run to then really push it, like really go out and hit the run as hard as I could, which was a 30 miler, which is long enough to really sort of, if you go out at a decent pace, you can really test yourself on a 13 miler, and did. And that was great because it then gave me the closure that I needed on that challenge, because it had physically pushed me right to the brink. I was then able to go, right, okay, that part of the challenge is done, shut the door. And I've just had 4 weeks off, 2 weeks abroad on a beach, which was great. So now I'm back and trying to get, just get going, if you like. And autumn's not helping.
Yeah. And what, just to take it back a tiny bit. So when you're talking about these 17 miles triathlon, 17 days, 35, 35, what does a day actually look like? So when you're doing a triathlon, what do you do first? What comes last? Does it take the whole day? When you think of your first two challenges you've done, what did a day look like? And how did you sort of get through each mini step each day to be able to reach the end?
Okay, so the 17s, because it was all so brand new, I'd worked at one of the pool where I'm swimming. I've worked with all the guys at a previous leisure centre in where I'm from in Stone. So they were great. They were super hospitable. They allowed me to keep my bike in the center. And so I was literally riding over, doing the swim, getting immediately on my bike, and then back to the house, parking my bike in the garage, and then straight out on the run. So it was all in very quick succession, as you would imagine a triathlon to be. So around that, I was just doing what I needed to do to recover, minimizing other stressors, which my partner's been fantastic for. She's very much on board. In fact, she's driving a lot of it. So that is priceless in itself. So I was then winding down, spreading my nutrition out across the day, meditation, all the things that I needed to calm myself down. And then moving forward to the 35s, we tried to replicate what's going to happen in the 70s as best we could. So it was kind of a full dress rehearsal, if you like. Now, Guinness Book are on board, and they've given me criteria that I need to hit. So some of it is a bit fiddly. Some of it is a bit of a blessing. So they have stated that each swim, ride, run for the 70 has to be completed in a calendar day. So I can't say take a day off and then make up and do two later on when I'm better conditioned.
Okay.
It has to be, yeah, staggered across accordingly.
Quite strict.
Yeah. And so I have to have, I can plot the routes, but I then have to have a land surveyor come and say they are what I say they are. There's special files that I need to save the times in every day. So each swim, ride, run has to be saved into a KLM file and sent off. And there's stuff that I need to do. However, the having it in each calendar day is a bit of a blessing. There was no rules to say that I had to do each discipline immediately after the other. Like there was no transition time limits or anything like that. So I can effectively do the swim. I can drive to the pool, swim, drive home, eat, and then have the house as both transition points for the ride and the run. So and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I'm going to have two 28 mile loops, which the ride for the 35 is 28 miles, double for the 70. So I can come back to the house halfway through the ride, refuel, and go back out, and then have an hour or so between ride and run, eat, rest, shower, whatever, change clothes, and get back out the door. So it's all going to be kind of very regimented. And I think that I, as much as I hate routine, it's going to be the structure that I'm going to need. So hopefully that's going to be a lot of what I need to do, and I'm already kind of thinking about it. So having the 17s and the 35s, as I say, as a dress rehearsal has been really valuable.
And you've just called yourself a total amateur, but you have already done 35 triathlons in a row, 17 triathlons in a row. Would you really say that you were an amateur and you built up to this, or and it's just been all this planning and prep that has enabled you to get through to it? Or do you think you had an advantage when you kicked off of already being quite an active person?
Yeah, I think there is a certain amount of that. I think there is also, I mean, yeah, in answer to your question, yes. I think, I've kind of dabbled with CrossFit. I've done an Ironman, a full 140 Ironman event previously, a few halves. I've always been drawn to active work, outdoors, sporty, all that kind of stuff. So I am that kind of guy naturally. And I think the biggest thing that draws me to these things is being in alcohol and cocaine recovery. Mm. And the reason I say that, it's not the whole kind of, I'm still learning a lot from my recovery and listening to different people, professors, podcasts, all this kind of stuff, as well as sort of being well in AA and learning all that kind of stuff. But to put it simply, it's like the whole addictive personality, which is a very sort of sweeping generalization for addicts. But I am aware that I haven't fulfilled my potential through the years because of alcohol and drug abuse and being, you know, stuck in second gear for in a lot of ways, especially like professionally. I just don't feel like I've achieved. So there is now this part of me that really wants to find out what I can do. And so, yeah, having come from a sporty-ish kind of background, rugby, swimming, mountain biking, all that sort of stuff, and now going, right, I've focused on triathlon. That's where it's fallen. And this is what I'm going to literally run with. And let's see. Let's find out. Yeah, I mean, it may be that I get to the end of the 70s and I fall into a big sweaty ball and go never again and find that that is the box ticked, you know, and I can go get my life back and go and get a job and carry on with that. Or it might be that the box isn't ticked. If the end of the 35 is anything to go by, and James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, he found the same. His first world record that he set was 30 iron races, like bona fide races. I'm not doing races. I'm just doing from my house. Well, day 70 is the Ironman event in Stafford. But he set his for doing races. So I think he did 30. So he's properly globetrotting to be able to get it in. And he did his 30th and he's just sat in the changing rooms and he just thought, that's not it. That hasn't done it. And so I'm not going to say it is or isn't going to be that for me because I honestly don't know. But I am out to find out my potential, really.
And you've just a massive source of your inspiration for doing this is your own personal journey. But you're also, you raise money from the Blue Marine Foundation, the Sharks Trust, the Stroke Association. What was your inspiration behind choosing those charities and helping them to further their work with your fundraising?
Yeah, so the Stroke Association was specifically for part of my AA program. So step 9 for the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous is to make amends to people that we've wronged effectively. And there was an elderly relative that I never apologized to. She's since passed away and very close to me, like my nan, really, if you like. And I have come out the other end, and now what's quite common for people in AA or NA or any of these other 12-step recovery fellowships is if their person need to make amends to has passed, then make do charity work for, or raise money for a charity, I should say, for something that affected them or something that you, in the way that you wronged them, you know, you can sort of go out and say, right, this is how I'm going to make amends to that person. So she died of a stroke. And she'd had several strokes, and then one big one eventually was the final straw for her. And so that was an easy go-to for me, was Stroke Association. Then, 35s, we had a split 50-50 split between two charities, as you say, Blue Marine and Sharks Trust. Both are UK marine charities. They have international reach, but primarily they do a lot of good stuff around the UK waters. The Sharks Trust, as you would imagine, is specifically for, you know, they monitor shark populations. They are out to get all the kind of information that you can to make sure these apex predators are in the UK, hopefully, the numbers or what is actually happening. And they're the guys who go out and find that information out. And amongst other things, you know, they've got anti-shark finning policies and things like that. And the Blue Marine Foundation is kind of, they're more political, if you like, and they are trying to get legislation in wherever they possibly can. They're active on the coastline as well. They've got more international reach than the Sharks Trust, for example. And so I just did what I could for them.
Mm. And thinking back to the money you raised for the Stroke Association and that story behind it, how did that feel when you'd finished the race and you'd raised the money and it was donated to the Stroke Association? I don't know if you're still fundraising, but that must have been quite a touching moment when you'd raised the money and passed it on.
Mm, yeah, it was. And sort of trying not to be too vain about it, but when I kind of had they sent me like a bib, like a Stroke Association top, and just seeing the video, I did like a little video of, you know, please donate, blah blah blah, and just sort of kind of put my earpods in, whatever, and just turned around and ran off, and just seeing the Stroke Association on me, and it was like, yeah, that's why I'm out doing this for these people, for Claire, for my auntie, and that felt really good. It was like, but I didn't see that coming, you know. I didn't see it. I didn't imagine sitting back watching that video and thinking, oh, you know, it was just a little moment to myself, really, thinking, oh, you know, nice one. Really felt like I'd done what I needed to do with that.
And having been through that journey from feeling like you did and how you just described to taking on these three incredible massive challenges that you're going to do is a huge difference. Like you said, it's night and day. So one thing we do want to do in this podcast is inspire other people to sort of push themselves a little bit and like break the boundaries to see if they can give back, to raise money to causes that mean a lot to them. Are there any pieces of advice or lessons you've learned that you would give to people who might not have been on the same journey as you, but are in a place where they don't think they could do something big, don't think they could fundraise charity, they don't think they could run a marathon, to sort of get past that and open their mind to, well, push it themselves a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think first of all, if you're kind of new to something, do something you're going to enjoy. First and foremost, don't worry about, you know, huge endeavors like Couch to 5K, amazing. Park run, amazing. One is very sort of, you'd be on your own. For Couch to 5K, you've got to do that. Whereas park run is very sociable and there's communities forming around it now. And so depending on what you want, there's something out there. You know, it could be dancing, it could be gymnastics, it could be swimming, it could be anything. First and foremost, find what you're going to enjoy, because especially across the winter, you've got to strap your trainers on and go out the door. So make it easy to motivate yourself. Secondly, I would say set a challenge, like have a target. For me, if I haven't got something on the horizon that I'm working towards sporting wise, the procrastination is terrible. It's like, oh, tomorrow. I'll start Monday. Pass me the Ben and Jerry's, you know, and that kind of thing. So I think having something that is on the horizon is priceless. And tell a few people. You don't have to put it all across Facebook on day one. You know, just tell your nearest and dearest, I'm going to do that. And that makes you more accountable. And then they'll tell people and they'll tell people. And I think the knock-on effect, first of all, is the more people that start knowing, the more obligated you feel to actually get out there and achieve that. And two, it's the ripple effect. I think when you start seeing other people around you wanting to be healthy and fit and eat the right thing and train and looking good and getting results and feeling better and skin clears up and you've got a limp or a bad hip or a bad joint, and then all of a sudden you start exercising, the lubricants within the joint start getting secreted again, and you feel better and your mobility comes back, and just the whole effect that it has on your person starts to improve. And when other people start improving and it's this huge, like, people love and hate CrossFit. I love it for that reason. You go into a normal gym and people have got their headphones on, they're doing their own thing, they're keeping their head down, they're focusing, they're watching form in the mirror, and they're doing their own thing, which is great if that's what you want. Whereas for me, I was a super sociable guy when I'm not in crippling active addiction. But now it's like, right, I need to be around other people, like-minded people in a CrossFit gym who want to do lifting, they want to do cardiovascular workouts. And we're all chatting. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same workout. And it's great. The community effect of CrossFit is as appealing as the training itself for me. And I think just find your thing.
One thing we do ask people that come onto the podcast is, what does the phrase "define optimism" mean to you when you hear it?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I think for me, society as a whole is geared towards pessimism and making money from that and filling the void for everybody, like buy this. And I think we are programmed to have a treadmill mentality. I think that's what gets out of bed in the morning. And I think despite all the effort made for to be negative and stuff that we can overthink once in a negative mindset, I think it's been, because I'm quite a defiant guy anyway. I was always like a rebel without a cause. I was like expelled from two schools. I always had that kind of streak in me. So it's like no, you're not going to get me down. Not today, Satan. Do you know what I mean? And just get on your path. Like, find your target. Get on the path to making it happen. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And yeah, just keep happy, man. Just keep chipping away. And in AA they call it trudging the road to happiness. So it's like every day's going to be a grind, but it's there, man. It's that's for me what it meant.
And you've obviously carrying that defiant optimism through to April when you do your 70 at 70. Where can people go to follow your journey, to find out more, to donate, to just keep following what you're doing?
Okay, so Insta, of course, and that is Triathlon World Record Andy. And Facebook, I have a page which is Andy's Triathlon Challenge.
Amazing, up and raring to go. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for sharing your journey. I'm sure it's inspired a lot of people, if not me, to that's what I say at the end of every podcast, to go out and do something, run more than my 5K. But yeah, it's been amazing listening to you, and massive, massive good luck for April. We'll be following definitely at Smiley Movement.
Amy, thanks so much. Thanks.
Oh, it was amazing to hear Andy's story there, an incredible journey he's been on. And thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, as always, please like it, subscribe, rate it, and share it with anyone else who you think might enjoy it. If you're looking for some more positivity, head to our website, smileymovement.org, where we run our Smiley News website, sharing positive stories about good people doing great things. Or you can find out more about our solution-focused live events, Smiley Talks. Thanks so much for listening. Cheers. Bye. We'll